DW Africa Link.
A very warm welcome on this edition of DW's Africa Link on Friday, February the 22nd. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. We also welcome all those following us on our Facebook page, DW Africa, and also our partner stations across the continent. Coming up on the program, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari vows on the eve of the elections that Nigerians would be able to vote in peace despite violence in the north. We hear from our correspondent in northern Nigeria.
Tomorrow, the polls open. Tomorrow, we affirm that Nigeria stands as a democracy.
And Sierra Leoneans in the capital, Freetown, are still coming to terms with the lack of bread in bakeries following a surprise strike by bakers.
The Bakers Association were not supposed to have called up an illegal strike without giving government notice of 21 days. So we moved on with that, and a lot of progress is being made along that front.
Plus, tens of thousands of people head to rival music concerts near Venezuela's border with Colombia.
That's right. Stay with us till the end for details to those stories. But first, some other world news in brief.
DW News.
This is DW News with me, Jane Nyingi. The Kenyan High Court has postponed to May 24th a much-anticipated ruling on whether to decriminalise homosexuality. Judge Chacha Mwita said the bench handling the case needed more time. Under current law, homosexual acts can be punished with long jail terms. Brian Masharia was among the LGBT activists present in court.
A lot of individuals who came here were super excited and anticipating the ruling and the judgment, because this is a historic and monumentous judgment in Kenya. We have all the eyes and ears of the world on Kenya and the LGBTQ community and the judicial system. So there's indeed a lot of people eagerly awaiting the judgment.
Tons of humanitarian aid sent from the U.S. to Venezuela is being held up on the Caribbean island of Curaçao after President Nicolas Maduro ordered the closure of both air and sea routes to the island. President Maduro is locked in a power struggle with Juan Guaido, the opposition leader spearheading efforts to bring humanitarian aid into the country despite a military blockade. Here is the U.S. Special Representative for Venezuela, Elliot Brahms.
We'll all call on the Venezuelan military not to block this desperately needed aid by their own families in Venezuela, but rather to respond to the legitimate government of Venezuela, the government of President Guaido, to allow this aid and much more aid in.
Elsewhere, Botswana is considering lifting a ban on game hunting to combat what the government says is a growing conflict between humans and wildlife. The country is home to 130,000 elephants, almost a third of those found in Africa. The controversial proposal must be debated by cabinet before becoming law. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. Nigerians are set to go to the polls tomorrow after last weekend's 11th-hour postponement. The current president, Muhammadu Buhari, faces his main challenger, former Vice President Atiku Abubakar. Electoral Officer Said Ahmed says it's all systems go for the poll.
The level of preparation is very well done, because as you can see, the men and the materials were started moving to the rack centers. I'm very optimistic that tomorrow's election will be credible, free and fair.
And lastly, in sports, English Premier League club Chelsea has categorically refuted claims by FIFA that it broke rules on registering underage players. The club's management says it will appeal the decision. Chelsea has been banned from signing new players in the next two transfer windows as punishment. For more news and information, head on to our Facebook page, DW Africa. My name is Jane Nyingi.
If you are just joining us, this is DW's Africa Link program, and my name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. I can see Remigius Ifwanyi, Ibrahim Serujo, and Mustafa Gay. We'll come to your comments a little later whenever we have the time.
Indeed. Now, we begin the program in Nigeria, where President Muhammadu Buhari has vowed on the eve of troubled elections that Nigerians would be able to vote in security, despite a week-long postponement and violence in the north of the country.
Tempers have been running high since the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, announced a one-week delay just hours before voting was due to begin on February 16th. Well, I've just been speaking to a correspondent in northern Nigeria, Muhammad Alamin, about the mood in the northern region where he's based.
Everybody is virtually getting ready for tomorrow's election, although there are some that are still expressing doubt whether the election will hold or not. But generally, people believe that the election will hold and they are very, very ready. Campaigns were stopped yesterday by 12 midnight, but still some politicians are going up and down doing one or two things to see that they still get other voters to vote for them.
A public holiday, we understand, was declared today to allow people to travel to their villages or in order to take part. Is it the case where you were that some Nigerians have been coming from urban places to come back to northern Nigeria in order to take part in the poll?
Yes, there is mass movement in and out. Some people are going out to go to their own localities to vote. And even some transport road organizations slash price of their routes for travelers to have an easy movement from one place to another, just because the other time people moved but the election did not hold. But this time there are a lot of movement in and out of the region.
We just heard that President Muhammadu Buhari has been assuring Nigerians that the vote will take place as scheduled. Let's first listen to him.
Dear Nigerians, finally we have reached the eve of the rescheduled first round of this year's general elections. Tomorrow, the polls open. Tomorrow, we affirm that Nigeria stands as a democracy and that no worldly hand can deter us from this wise and fitting path we have chosen for ourselves. The Electoral Commission says it is ready and fully prepared to conduct the election in a free, fair, and transparent manner.
Now, we've just heard Buhari assuring Nigerians that the elections will be free and fair. Is that the general feeling where you are?
Generally, people believe that it's going to be free and fair. All the stakeholders are preaching for that free and fair election. Mosques, churches, everybody is praying for that. We hope the election will be free, as the president assured.
I was speaking to our correspondent in northern Nigeria, Mohammed Alamin Abu.
And the rest of the African continent have eyes on Nigeria right now.
Yeah, true.
John Ilari wrote, Nigerians should make sure that they vote away those evil and corrupt former governors who want to run for the Senate.
And our usual contributor, Ehoza Godwin, for him is saying Buhari is definitely winning this election. That's too early, Godwin.
Yeah, indeed. And yeah. Hussein Adams in Ghana says, I hope it will be peaceful.
Anyway, thanks for those comments. We'll always come back to them whenever we can. Another story that is making headlines for days is Venezuela. The power struggle is set to become a bout of bands today when musicians demanding that President Nicolas Maduro allow in humanitarian aid and those supporting his refusal sing in rival concerts being held at both sides of a border bridge where tons of donated food and medicine are stored.
Now, Russia on Friday accused the United States of using aid deliveries to Venezuela as a ploy to carry out military action against President Maduro's government. Earlier, Maduro closed Venezuela's border with Brazil to prevent the delivery of humanitarian aid. He says the aid is a pretext for military action.
Many Venezuelans have no access to food or medical supplies. Nonetheless, acting President Nicolas Maduro has now called on the military to close the borders. He aims to block medical and food supplies from entering the country, especially a delivery that the United States had planned to deliver on Saturday. Maduro denies that any humanitarian crisis is taking place. He has portrayed the United States humanitarian convoy as a camouflaged military invasion. Now, the Russian Federation has stepped in with humanitarian supplies. Maria Zakharova, spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry, has called the delivery planned by the US a dangerous provocation.
It can cause clashes between the supporters and the opponents of the current regime and serves as a convenient pretext for conducting military action to topple the current legitimate president of the country.
Maduro's opponent, the self-proclaimed interim president Juan Guaido, told DW that blocking the convoy was highly irresponsible.
We have been very clear with the armed forces that they have to allow humanitarian aid to enter, and whoever blocks it will be tried for human rights violations. What's happening in Venezuela could be considered a silent genocide when you have hundreds of thousands who've died because of a shortage of food and medicine.
Indeed, the measure is likely to further aggravate the already tense situation in Venezuela. Scientists have sounded the alarm because many infectious diseases are once again spreading uncontrollably. The number of malaria infections alone has risen from almost 30,000 in 2010 to more than 400,000 in 2017. The United States are now trying to deliver aid supplies from the Colombian border, but Nicolas Maduro has already announced that he was going to shut down the Colombian border too.
Matthias von Wedestedt with that report.
To Sierra Leone's capital of Freetown, where hundreds of thousands of households are without bread as bakeries complain of sudden increase in the cost of flour. Now, bakers across the country have gone on a strike, demanding the government reverse its decision on the increase of taxes.
Now, most Sierra Leoneans spend more of their meager household income on bread and rice than any other food items, which is why the shortage of bread in the shops affects millions of people. And bread has become the new gold in Freetown, as people stand in long queues outside shops with hopes of getting at least a loaf of bread to take home. Mutala Kamara has been telling me more from the capital, Freetown.
Well, it's a bit better today. The past 2-3 days, you know, was worse. The strike action actually started on Monday, which was a public holiday in Freetown, the Armed Forces Day. You know, so it came as a complete shock, as a complete surprise, you know, to Sierra Leoneans. People woke up, you know, on Monday morning, there was no bread.
So you said you've been speaking to some of these Sierra Leoneans in Freetown who were affected by the shortage of bread. What have they been telling you?
Well, they are frustrated. Most of them express anger. You know, it came as a complete surprise. You know, like I said, nobody was expecting this. Most families were at home preparing, you know, to take their breakfast. You know, after rice, bread is also one of the staples here.
You've been telling me before, Mutala, that there are two different unions involved in this strike. Can you maybe elaborate on that a bit?
Based on my investigation, I understand that there are two unions. The umbrella organization, which is the Bakers Union, and the splinter group, which is the Bakers Association, they organized this. And the Bakers Union were not part of it. In fact, they describe the strike action as illegal. Negotiations, you know, has been ongoing by the government, you know, of Sierra Leone, you know, with the two groups, the Bakers Union and the Bakers Association, you know, to find a lasting solution to this problem.
So you mean that the government has intervened in trying to calm the situation down? And what sort of agreement has the government come up with the Bakers Association?
Well, I spoke to the Deputy Trade Minister this morning, Reverend Abraham James Cisse Jones, and he said the government has engaged the two groups, the Bakers Union and the Bakers Association, and this is what he has to say further.
The Bakers Association were not supposed to have called up an illegal strike without giving government notice of 21 days. The leadership of the association conceded to that and made an apology, public apology, and so that more or less resolved the matter at that point. But we still had to deal with the price of flour, which was going up, which we are made to understand was the reason for their strike action. So we moved on with that, and a lot of progress is being made along that front.
The government is saying that the increase in the price of flour, which they use to bake bread, is not a Sierra Leonean problem. They said there has been an increase in the prices of flour globally. You know, the minister in the interview made mention of the situation in Nigeria. You know, what he is saying that the government has not increased taxation, you know, for the importation of flour. In fact, what he said to me is that, in fact, government has reduced taxation on the importation, you know, of the rice flour.
Mutala Kamara speaking earlier to me from Freetown.
Well, Abu, I hope that, you know, the taxes are lowered and so people can get bread, because
it was a shock actually to those people because over the weekend and on Monday there was a holiday in Freetown, and suddenly people Tuesday they go to they realized like, oh, there was a strike and there was no bread. It was a big shock for them.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Anyway, you can tell us what you think about the stories we're covering by going on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And in case you have just tuned in, this is DW's African program coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Abubakar Jalo. As usual, we are live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We have a couple of you guys who are following us there. I see Auntie Relly, Ankwanyeka, Anachweka. It's a difficult name. Apologies if I pronounce it wrongly. And last Mark, thank you all guys for hanging out with us.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, it's going to be interesting. Abu, by the way, welcome back to the show. I mean, after having been away for 3 months.
It's a pleasure to be back here.
Yeah, it's good to have you along. Now, yeah. Abu, one of the stories we're going to be covering this part, slim size or curvaceous?
That is a very contentious topic.
That's the question. Uganda is organizing a Miss Curvy beauty pageant to attract tourists to the country. But there's been mixed reactions, as our reporter found out from the streets of Kampala.
I think it's an excellent idea, because over the years they've been really promoting the slender sizes.
We are being portrayed like we are just cheap women, like meat on sale out there in the international world market.
And also on the program, Isaac, we have sports.
Exactly. It's Friday. But first, Kenya's gays and lesbians were eagerly looking forward to a landmark ruling by the nation's high court on whether to decriminalize sex between two people of the same gender. But as a surprise to many, the high court has postponed the ruling.
Currently, under Kenya Section 162 of the Penal Code, gay sex is punishable by up to 14 years in prison. DW's Andrew Wasike met with members of the LGBTI community who believe that a positive ruling in their favor will be a milestone in realizing rights in the region.
Despite the postponement of the case, Kenya's gays and lesbians community is hopeful the High Court might rule in their favor. Many in the LGBTI community have been arrested and prosecuted under the current penal code. One of those that filed the petition is John Madenge, who is living openly as a gay commercial sex worker.
My life is being threatened by the community. Also, the police also sometimes threaten me. In terms of health services, people cannot actually access health services. You go a lot of stigma and discrimination. A lot of violence is caused all over the village.
Madenge, who works as the director of HOIMAS, an organization formed by male sex workers and people living with HIV and AIDS, blames British colonial laws for the current maltreatment of gay people in Kenya.
We still use the British colonial law. But when you go to British, in London, gay men are free to talk, lesbians are free to do whatever they want to do, but we're still governed by the British colonial laws. Laws in Kenya, and they are not actually using those laws. No one actually should violate your life because of your sexuality. No one can deny you access services because of your sexuality. Why would someone deny my health rights just because of my sexuality?
But not all Kenyans see it as a matter of human rights violations. On the streets of Nairobi, many describe homosexuality as immoral and against their traditions.
God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We shouldn't even having this topic.
I believe that homosexuality should not be accepted in any way.
I think it's against African culture, especially in our country, Kenya.
Madenge, however, tells me that this is why they decided to go to court, envisioning a future where the LGBT community can live in peace in Kenya.
As a petitioner, I went to court to narrate to the court, and I want the constitution of this country to make sure that they interpret the constitution very well and to tell us why we still have these British colonial rules, especially Section 162 and Section 163, which talks about like homosexuality, like you end up in, if you are caught on gay act, you end up in court for like 14 years in jail, which is that's punitive laws. Those are the ones that we don't want in this country. We are not actually asking for gay marriage. We are not asking for marriage. All of what we are asking is love. We need love, not gay marriages.
As I part ways with Madenge, he leaves me with this message which he says goes to all Africans who discriminate gay people.
I enjoy my sex and I love my sex. Sex is sex. And sex for me, as long as I'm enjoying sex with a man, I have no problem with it. You enjoy your heterosexual sex. I have no problem with you.
And that report was compiled by Andrew Wasike in Nairobi. We have a response here from Evang Adikesime. He says most people in Kenya are conservative and they have a negative attitude towards homosexuals. So a change in law wouldn't have a big impact on how people view the LGBT community.
And Damjan Vinch says homophobia, much like racism and other forms of bigotry, sadly exists everywhere on the planet. A positive change in social attitudes can be achieved gradually through educating the masses about the needs and issues LGBTs face on a daily basis.
Indeed, it's a very contentious topic.
Strong comments there, yeah. Someone who calls himself Renegade Ebony says, I hope they end up ruling in favor of equality and human rights. Many thanks for those comments. Now, to the much-awaited story of the second part, Uganda is widely marketed the rest of the world as the Pearl of Africa. Top among its attractions are the wild safaris and mainly these giant apes, the gorillas. But there seems a new addition to that list, Abu.
Now, beautiful curvy women could play a role in attracting visitors, as recently revealed by Tourism Minister Godfrey Kiwanda. This has infuriated women's activists, accusing him of promoting women as a tourist attraction. But preparations to attract curvy women ambassadors for Uganda are in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
This report by Julius Bogamboa is now presented by Julia Frulich.
A group of three young women meet to discuss a common interest, the upcoming Miss Curvy Uganda Beauty Contest. The beauty contest is strictly for plus-sized queens with curvy bodies, and according to organizer Annie Mungoma, over 200 women have applied.
You must be curvaceous. Those ladies know themselves. That is the truth. When I say, when you ask me, what must someone do, what size are you going to consider, we are considering curves.
The idea to showcase women with curved body shapes has been fronted by Uganda's tourism minister, Godfrey Kiwanda. At the launch of the contest, the minister said the beauty queens could help attract foreign visitors and boost tourism.
Tourism is not only about animals. It's about our food, the way we walk, the way we are created, our curves.
Women rights groups are furious, and they have gone to court to block the pageant for allegedly insulting women. Rita Akirolako from Uganda Women's Network believes the contest objectifies women.
How dare him reduce women and abuse their bodily integrity? We are outraged, and therefore we are demanding for the following. One, an immediate apology.
On the internet, Uganda's Miss Curvy has been met with anger and approval. And it's a similar picture on the streets of Kampala. For some, the minister is a champion of tourism. For others, he's objectifying women.
I think it's an excellent idea because over the years, they've been really promoting the slender sizes. You find teenagers in schools are trying to take lots of medication to lose weight, and this is not healthy for us. They are supposed to accept us.
The minister behind this idea needs to rethink because this is not good. He's got a wife. Can he present her as a tourist attraction?
We are being portrayed like we are just cheap women, like meat on sale out there in the international world market. That's a very bad, and I totally disagree.
And I even feel happy that they've given the plus size people an opportunity. It's just like any other beauty pageant, but it's only that. This one is only for the plus size.
Facing the backlash, the minister denies accusations of using women to attract travelers. He has told the parliament that this is a misunderstanding.
My participation at the launch of Miss Curvy should not at all be misinterpreted, since my focus was more to support beauty standard that is more in with our native culture preferences and not using curvy women as a tourist attraction. I've never said that, and I'll never even think about that.
Whether it's a misunderstanding or not, and despite the controversy, There are no plans to cancel the contest of the curves.
And that report was written by Julius Mugambwa and presented by Julia Fröhlich. We have tons of responses to this story as well.
Exactly. But Abba, I think, you know, the whole thing, like the minister said, could have been a misinterpretation, because where I come from, we have Miss Kavi, Miss A+, all sizes have the opportunity to showcase what they are.
But
mamas
that's not
give
the
them.
Point. The point is basically saying to attract tourists
exactly,
to Uganda. That's the controversial part.
That's what made, I think, people livid. And actually, on that note, like you mentioned, Auntie really just sent in a Facebook message here saying, organizing Miss Cave is okay, but how will that attract tourists? That's the question.
We all don't know. I don't think we have answers to that.
Yeah.
Anyways, let me read this question, this opinion from Mora Pedi, who says, every lady should know that her physical appearance is the creativity of nature. It's a beauty contest, so what's all the fuss about? Seriously, there is nothing wrong with this contest. Ladies should all know that they are beautiful.
Indeed. Sophia Clasico says, human beings are very complicated. When curvy women are excluded from beauty pageants, they complain of discrimination. Now that someone is thinking of giving them a chance, the alarm is raised about the abuse of women. Let the women who choose to do it be given their right to participate. I agree with that because, to me, Abu, every man is beautiful regardless of the size. I can watch any pageant regardless of the size from morning, even every day.
Okay, before we go to to the next sports there, I have this comment there. It's a funny one from Abdul. He says, the next day you'll hear the government announcing Miss Forehead competition, Miss Teeth, Miss Lips, and so on. That's a funny one.
That's interesting. Abdul, thank you for giving us that hearty laugh before we go for the sports.
Talking sport.
And it's my favorite time of the week.
Sure.
Sport.
Sure, indeed. It's that time of the week, like you mentioned, when we treat you to another dose of sports, where we are now joined by Latifa Jafar, one of the female sports commentators with the DW Hausa, telling us what they have on the menu this weekend.
The game we are commentating in DW Hausa and also Kiswahili and French department is Bayern Munich against Hertha Berlin. It is a big game because, more especially for Bayern, Bayern will like to win this game so that maybe beat up Borussia Dortmund. It's like 3 weeks ago, they're not doing well. There is a possibility that Bayern will win the trophy as usual. Because if Dortmund did not win this game, I think they should forget about winning the trophy.
Now, how closely are your sports fans in Nigeria following the Bundesliga?
They have a hope like maybe this year, Borussia Dortmund will break the record again to win the trophy. But the hope is now reducing because Borussia Dortmund is not doing well. In the past 3 weeks, they did draw. So then Max gap between Bayern and Borussia Dortmund reduced. So it's just like hope, but everybody is thinking like Bayern will come back as usual and win the trophy, because at the beginning they started like doing not so good. They were not doing good at the beginning of the Bundesliga season this year, but now they are trying.
What kind of feedback do you get from the sports fans who listen to the Bundesliga in Hausa?
They're really enjoying it because in some parts of Nigeria, I can tell you, and also in Nigeria Republic, now Bundesliga is like on top of the Premier League, because in Nigeria Republic, they really listen to Bundesliga. And then in some parts of Nigeria, there are a lot of like commitments. For example, in Kaduna and Bauchi, in Kaduna State, there is a Bundesliga fan club. Mm-hmm. Which they are organizing sports also among themselves. And also there is in Bauchi, recently they opened a studio just for watching Bundesliga.
Wow, that's interesting. Many thanks, Latifa, for telling us more about the sports and the match that you'll be airing. Thanks indeed.
Make your voice count. Join DW Africa on Facebook and comment on the stories there. You could get a mention on Africa Link, which broadcasts live on Facebook. That's DW Africa.
And before we go a well-deservedly weekend, just a reminder of our top story. President Muhammadu Buhari of Nigeria has vowed on the eve of elections that Nigerians would be able to vote in peace. Many of you are still sending in comments, Abu.
And a quick one from Akan Chawa, who says, I pray Nigerians have a peaceful election because the world is looking at you.
Yeah, Faze Festus, who says he lives in Germany, says, I'm from Nigeria and I hope we will have a good election.
Yeah, we all pray that things go out really peacefully.
For more Nigeria, you can go on our page. That is dw.com/Africa. There's a lot for you to know about the election. And tomorrow, please join us on our Facebook page, DW Africa, which will have live shows there.
Full coverage on that. Full coverage from every corner. Yeah. Indeed. It's been a pleasure. Hope to have you next week. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. Bye for now.
DW, made for minds.